Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. I hope you've had a blessed Christmas, even with limitations, even with restrictions that we've had to not be able to be in large gatherings. I still hope that you have felt God's presence with you and that it's been a special time this past week. Just a few announcements in your bulletin. Our search committee is recommending a candidate to Zion leadership, and we will continue to pray for the next steps as the leadership team moves forward with interviewing this candidate. Also, on January the 10th, you can drive by the church for soup and bread that's going to be made, and we're asking you to consider giving a donation to Drift Creek Camp. So the soup and bread will be prepackaged for approximately 2 to 4 people, and that's on January the 10th. So please look through your bulletins that you would have received on email for other things that are happening within our congregation. Would you join me for a prayer as we begin our worship this morning? God, our hearts praise you and our spirits rejoice because you have come as our Savior. You have remembered us, your humble servants. We celebrate the great things you have done for us, for your name is holy. From one generation to another, you have shown mercy on those who honor you. You have stretched out your mighty arm, scattering the conceited, confusing their schemes. You bring down tyrants and lift up the lowly. You fill the hungry with good things, but send the rich away empty. You have kept your promises to us. You have come to our help. You will show your people your love forever. Our hearts praise you, Lord, in our worship this morning. Lynn is here this morning to be our worship leader, and we welcome him. Also, we welcome the Summer family and Louise Gingrich, who will be a part of our worship this morning. Lynn, would you come and lead us in call to worship?
Shout praises to the Lord. Shout the Lord's praises in the highest heavens. All you angels and all who serve him above, come and offer praise. Sun and moon and all the stars, come and offer praise. Highest heavens and waters above the highest heavens, come and offer praise. Let all things praise the name of the Lord, because they are created at his command. Every king and every ruler, all nations of the earth, every man and every woman, young people and old, come praise the Lord. All creation, come and praise the Lord.
What child is here? Thank you.
Today we light the Christ candle, celebrating the birth of Jesus. We rejoice in a newborn Savior. Jesus is our hope realized, our peace fulfilled, our joy complete, God's love overflowing. We light the candles of hope, peace, joy, and love, giving thanks with all the angels in heaven for the Christmas gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Liesl, stay right here. Wave. You want to wave? Let's wave at Liesl. Thank her for lighting the candles this morning. Can you see, buddy? Thank you. Let's sing together. He came down that we might have love.
Came down that we might have love. He came down that we might have love. He came down that we might have love. Alleluia, forevermore. He came down that we might have love. He came down that we might have love. He came down that we might have love.
Actually not Lottie's first time to church. She was in church when she was only a couple days old. But we are glad to present her with a comforter honored by the Mennonite women. Keep her warm and covered with our prayers and blessings. And we like to sing, Child of Blessing, Child of Promise.
So, hi everybody. We're back. We're back in the little barn. And this time we've got a shepherd. We don't even know how many shepherds there actually were. But I've only got one with this nativity set. Some sheeps. So these shepherds, they were in the field when angels appeared and sang to them. This must have been very exciting. And then they went to see the baby Jesus. That's what the angels told them. The angels told them that there was a baby born and that he was Jesus. So the shepherds went, and sure enough, there was a baby born, and it was Jesus. Yeah, let's get these little sheep in here. Okay. There we go. They got all the little sheep in there. And Mary and Joseph. Yeah. In Bethlehem. And he was lying in a manger. Yeah. Which is kind of like the big dish that the cows and the sheep and the goats and everybody eat from. And there was the baby there. Yeah, and it was Jesus. And the shepherds were so happy. Yeah. And Mary and Joseph, they must have been very happy too. Yeah. Okay. Before we get to the song from Chris, let's do a prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for coming to be with us as Jesus. And be with us every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We'll see what happens in the barn next week. As we're still in the little barn. Yes, we are. We're still in the little barn. Outside, you can see there's leaves and things. It's pretty much almost Christmas time. You guys have a great Christmas, and we'll continue the story next week.
Verses 25 to 35. At that time, a man named Simeon was living in Jerusalem. Simeon was a good man, He loved God and was waiting for God to save the people of Israel. God's Spirit came to him and told him that he would not die until he had seen the Christ the Lord. When Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to do what the law of Moses says should be done for a baby, the Spirit told Simeon to go into the temple. Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms and he praised God. Lord, I am your servant, and now I can die in peace because you have kept your promise to me. With my own eyes, I have seen what you have done to save your people, and foreign nations will also see this. Your mighty power is light to all nations, and it will bring honor to your people Israel. Jesus' parents were surprised at what Simeon had said. And then he blessed them and told Mary, "This child is yours, will cause many people in Israel to fall and others to stand. The child will be like a warning sign. Many people reject him, and you, Mary, will suffer as though you had been stabbed by a dagger. But all this will show what people are really thinking."
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Merry the Sunday after Christmas. It's good to have you here with us this morning. I want to say thanks for joining us this morning, for all those involved already this morning. Really appreciate just the service. And I'll tell you, it's different than last Christmas. You noted that one of the songs that we heard this morning was from last year on December 22nd. Who knew that we'd be making a recording last year for use this year? But here we are. And this last Sunday in 2020, and some of us are really ready to celebrate that 2020 is almost completely behind us, but we're also excited to see what God has in front of us before us. I want to say welcome to Terry Rediker. Terry's with us this morning tuning in. Terry's our district conference minister, so it's good to have him here. I also saw Doug Gingrich is with us this morning, too, from his house. He joined us from his hospital bed, so it's much better to see him joining us from his house. This morning, the R word is rejoice. And so we've been going through this Advent season thinking about Jesus at home, particularly since many of us have had to be at home because of COVID restrictions. So Jesus at home, and as we think about Jesus at home, this is literally in our houses, in our homes, but also in our hearts, at home in our hearts. And it is about rejoicing this morning. Jesus at home in our hearts, Jesus in our home leads us into rejoicing. Rejoicing is being filled with joy and expressing that joy. That is what rejoicing is. And so as we think about joy and the experience of joy, expressing that is rejoicing. So the experience of the good news of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, the baby being born, but also the good news that this Jesus who was born as a baby grew up, lived, and then died on the cross so that you and I might have the relationship with God. And that results in rejoicing, joy. And it results in praise, praising God, rejoicing, all of that tied into the fact that this good news of Jesus being born, it brings light into our world. And so we look at this text this morning in Luke chapter 2, and we look at it kind of trying to see where the joy is coming from. And so we have this scene of Simeon. Simeon is in the temple. Now, it might seem kind of odd that we pick this story up here where we see this older gentleman at church, and suddenly he has this sense, and it says in the text, by the Spirit, that this couple bringing this baby, that there's something different about this baby. We go back a couple of verses before, it kind of sets the scene. The scene is that Joseph and Mary are taking Jesus to the temple, and they are following the laws that were established way back in Exodus. So this is Old Testament law. And they're going there to kind of honor the law, but also to present Jesus and to consecrate Jesus, to set him aside. And it says, as it's written in the law, the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, to be set aside, to be recognized. And so that's what they were doing. It's kind of like what we did this morning in, you know, thinking about the baby and the comforter given. It's kind of that setting aside. It's a recognizing that this is a baby who is part of our family, part of all that God wants to do in and through us as individuals, but also recognizing here in this story, Jesus being taken to the temple, part of what was happening. And also noting that Joseph and Mary were required to also bring a sacrifice. And one of the things that was interesting to me to note as I studied this text for this morning was the sacrifice that they brought was a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And that would have been the sacrifice that the poorest people would have brought to the temple. And you might think, well, why is that important, or what is the significance of that? And I would say one of the things that I think is significant about that is that we have to remember that Jesus more than likely grew up in a home that wasn't a home of great wealth, but was a home that really probably struggled to pay the bills, perhaps, but that money was tight. And some of us can relate to that kind of way of living. And so that Jesus grew up in that home, and Jesus can indeed understand and relate to us wherever we're at in our economic standing or even in our social standing. Remember, Jesus, the child, the Son of God, was born in a stable. And to think about how this was all part of what God wanted to communicate in his plan of salvation. Not to have some rich, wealthy person stepping into the scene, but this baby coming humbly in humility. And Simeon seeing this. So this man, Simeon, it says he was religious, he was righteous, he was devout, he was a God-fearing person, but he was. It says he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. What an interesting word, consolation. Sometimes we think of consolation prize. That's not always the most exciting prize to get, is it? The consolation prize. But this is about the comfort that Jesus was going to bring, and that Jesus was bringing not just to the Israelites, but to the world. And the comfort that Jesus was bringing to not just the world in the time of Jesus' birth and his life, but for all people at all times. You know, in Luke, towards the end of the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 24, verse 21, is this story of these disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus was crucified and died. And they're walking, and they didn't realize it, but they were talking to Jesus. Some of you are familiar with that story, remember that. But in Luke chapter 24 is where this story is. And then in verse 21 is this this response of these disciples have been following Jesus. And then we see that the chief priests on verse 20, the chief priests and our rulers handed Jesus over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And there's that word redeem Israel. And that was one of our words for Advent, but it's about that consolation. It's about the coming of Jesus, the comfort that Messiah would indeed bring. Now, in this text in Luke chapter 2, if we read a little bit further, there was also this prophet named Anna, and she also was always in the temple. And so Anna also looking for that redemption that would come through Jesus. And in verse 38 in Luke chapter 2, she is going up to the couple, Mary and Joseph, and to the baby, and she gives thanks to God and spoke about Jesus to all people who were looking toward the redemption of Jerusalem. So we have here two people, Simeon and Anna, both looking forward to Jesus. And then this recognition that this baby is indeed what they've been waiting for. All this time they've been waiting and looking and searching for what Jesus was going to, how Jesus was going to enter into the world. And suddenly it happens. It's kind of like at Christmas. We have these presents and we wrap them and we put them under the tree and we wait. And then we get to open them. Now, if some of you might remember, I brought a present wrapped a couple weeks ago and showed it to you all and was wondering what it was in there. And so this morning, and as many of you are, maybe you're wearing your Christmas presents. And so this shirt was my present. How about that? I got a present that is my, so it's proof that I did open that gift. And in opening that, there's some joy. I was like, great, I got a nice shirt. Hopefully there's some joy as others look at this nice shirt. I know you got to look past me sometimes to see the pretty shirt. But in this recognition that there is joy in receiving those gifts, which is a little bit like the joy that we have in receiving Jesus into our hearts and into our homes. And what Simeon is experiencing here is he was waiting to see the Messiah, to see the Christ. And so as we see in this story, he's waiting and it's the Holy Spirit that's moving on him, through him and in him so that he might recognize Jesus. And in this, we see that there's a promise that Simeon and Anna were waiting for, and the promise of comfort, of salvation, of God being able to step into our world in humanity and being human. You know, we spent some time in Isaiah over the last several months, and Isaiah 40 was a text we were in on several occasions. And the beginning of Isaiah 40 talks about comfort, comfort, comfort for my people. And that was a vision of looking forward to Jesus and the presence of Jesus and the birth of Jesus. Comfort, comfort my people, says our God. That's Isaiah 40, verse 1. And in Isaiah 52, again, just kind of this prophetic word. As people were anticipating and waiting for Jesus to show up on the scene. Isaiah 52 verse 7 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. And it's that kind of testimony, that kind of witness that was inspiring Simeon and Anna and others perhaps too, to be looking for the birth of Jesus and to be able to celebrate that. Remembering that you and I can connect with Jesus as well, that he was a human like we are, but yet God. And he experienced all the things of humanity, growing up perhaps not in the wealthiest of homes, but recognizing that we too can walk with Jesus and recognize the comfort that he can extend to us. You know, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and I think he captured well this comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to these words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of compassion and the God of comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles. Now, I'm going to wait there a little bit before I finish reading that. But it says, comforts us in all our troubles. Now, I wonder, does that include 2020 and all the things that you and I have experienced, the disappointments, the things we wish we could have done, the Christmas celebrations that were so different and unusual? Even in that, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And it's that kind of concept of God's love, comfort extending to me, and because of that, then I can walk with you when you're in trouble, and I can comfort and I can love you in the midst of all the things we go through in life. Jesus, in his teaching in what we call the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, we have these blessings, these beatitudes. Verse 4 in Matthew 5 is, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And there's that word again, comfort, consolation, being with, walking alongside. And what Simeon is realizing here in this text this morning is that he is seeing the fulfillment of all the promises that he'd been waiting for as this baby Jesus shows up on the scene in the temple. And what I note here, and what I find very interesting and very hopeful for me, is that promises that are fulfilled, the biblical promises, what we see fulfilled, build in us a faith. And that is a faith that helps us to think about how we move forward into what God has for us. What is it that God has for us this coming new year? You know, Simeon's response to these promises being fulfilled in verse 29, this proclamation, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." And it's that fulfillment of promise that causes and evokes in Simeon this response. And it's verses 29 to 32 are really that response where Simeon realizes that he has looked upon, what he says, he looks upon salvation. He sees Jesus, and in that is salvation, what he had been longing for. And in that, he sees this revelation. In NIV, it says, "A light for revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people, Israel." That in this baby, Simeon looks upon this baby and says, this is Jesus. This is salvation. This is what we have been hoping for. And now it is here. And this encounter with Jesus, but it's also this encounter with all of what we see in the promises leading up to this moment, brings about in Simeon this proclamation, this joy, this rejoicing. And I see that in my own life. When I can sit back and really think about how is it that God has worked in my life, and I can see those places of rejoicing along the way. And it's not all about it being simple or easy or causing in us happiness. There's a lot of sadness in life. And many of you know that. And perhaps some of you are facing challenges today that bring about sadness in your life as well. But in the midst of that is this realization that Jesus knows that sadness, and loves and cares and walks with us and beside us even in that. And it's this fulfillment of these promises that God won't leave us, desert us, that allows us then to celebrate, to rejoice, to proclaim, to sing, to shout out from the mountaintops that Jesus is here. Now, I don't know about you, but I got to get up onto some mountaintops, so I hope to be able to do that this winter and go skiing perhaps. I think that's a great place to really recognize and sense the Spirit's moving and how Jesus is indeed at work in the world today. So this consolation of Israel, this promises being fulfilled, Simeon's response, Anna's response of wanting to tell people about Jesus, this realization of what is going on and this moment in history and time of so important and so crucial to the rest of the fulfillment of the promises that we saw in Isaiah that were both about Jesus, the baby, but then also looking ahead, Jesus will come again. And how can we, you and I, be ready for that, to be able to be seeing Jesus at home in our hearts and rejoicing in such a way that you can't help it. You can't help but be filled with joy and that other people see it, and maybe they even come up to you and say, "I know all this stuff's going on in your life, but yet you seem to be full of joy. What is going on with you?" Wouldn't that be an interesting conversation to have with people? I think that would be fun. And perhaps we'll have that opportunity to do that today, this week. I think a good place to have opportunity to talk to others about the joy that might be overflowing in your heart is riding the chairlift up on the ski slope. I think that's a good spot to be able to do that. socially distanced and wearing our masks, especially at this time. So Simeon has his response, but then we see in the text that Joseph and Mary, just they continue to be marvel at all that's happening around this baby. And Simeon blesses them. And one of the things that is interesting to me is that Simeon talks about the fact that Jesus will be kind of revealing where people's hearts are at. That he's going to cause many to stumble and fall. And Simeon even talks about Mary and the fact that she herself will have things revealed in her heart. And I think in that, some of the folks that study and try to understand the context of that verse, I think there's two things going on there. Simeon kind of gives Mary the recognition that she's going to grieve greatly at the death of Jesus. But I also see here what's happening is because Jesus is going to be at work at letting us, you and I, see our hearts and to be able to heal our hearts, that Mary too knew that salvation through this baby. And that is just, that's an incredible kind of way to think about Mary and Jesus. Because this baby is God. And that this would be the salvation for Mary and for Joseph and for us all. But it's that joy that comes about from that connection with God through Jesus. It's that joy that indeed will continue to change and allow our hearts to see how God wants to work in each one of us and in our world today. So joy includes the fact that our hearts are changed, converted, renewed. That repentance and restoration and rejoicing are all about the joy that God has put into our hearts through Jesus, through this baby. And this experience with Jesus changes our hearts. We can't help it. It changes who we are. It changes how we talk to one another. It changes how we think about our lives, how we think about the world, how we think about this new year that we're about to step into. Jesus at work in our hearts. You know, this prophet Anna, it's just a few verses here that Luke includes, and it's unique to Luke that this is included here, but it's so vital and important that Anna was recognized as a prophet. And this is a prophetic word given in the temple to people who are at the temple, who are following God, seeking after God, trying to do that which God has called them to do. And that in that prophetic word, we see Anna giving the fact that she's going to talk to everybody she can about Jesus. Now, Anna's interesting because it says in the text that she was committed to prayer and fasting all the time. And I think there's an example for me to remember. You know, Luke, in this, as he continues to develop the thesis throughout this book, one of the things that comes to surface again and again is the importance of prayer. And so we see Anna, a prophet, committed to prayer and fasting, and that commitment leading her to this moment in history, to be a part of it, and then speaking about Jesus. And so as I think about rejoicing, allowing God to continue to be revealing who God is to me, allowing me to see Jesus, maybe see Jesus in new ways in 2021. But I need to focus in on what is it that I need to change in my life so I can be a little bit more like the prophet Anna and be a person who's known to be praying and fasting and speaking about Jesus. To be people, to be a person who we just can't help it. We just can't help but talk about the fact that our hearts are changed. Because Christmas isn't just about December 25th, but Christmas is about life every day. Jesus at home in our hearts, bringing about rejoicing to the fact that we just can't help it, that joy spills out over. And if it's not spilling out over in my life, to go back and think, okay, what do I need to change? What needs to become more a priority for me? And prayer and fasting, I don't think we ever get enough prayer. And I really struggle with the fasting thing because, you know, food's important. But to lay aside time and to feel hungry and then to use that hunger as a way to recognize God, who God is and who God's calling me to be, so that that joy begins to overflow. And the fact that I can be joyful, now this might be a struggle, but I know I can do it. I can be joyful even when I'm hungry. All right, let me think a little bit. When was the last time I was really hungry? You know, the holidays tend to bring a lot of goodies into our home. That's the fault of a lot of you folks who gave us lots of goodies, cookies and candies. And there's so many things laying around our house that just I need to go home and eat them. But that interesting concept of fasting, the challenge for me coming into this new year, how can that be a part of allowing God to be at work in me so that that joy can indeed overflow and spill out? I hope that all of us have that joy and can continue into this new year, regardless of what is ahead for us, to see that God is at work in our world. He's at work in each of our lives, and that he wants us to be joyful. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for today, for this text, Lord, and for the celebration that comes, the joy and the rejoicing that we can know because of Jesus. God, I pray that as we wrap up this year and look forward to the new year, that we would sense what you want us to change in our lives. God, are there things that you desire for us to do that maybe are a challenge? Fasting, God, or more prayer, more Bible reading, more trying to connect with people. Maybe there's even relationships that we need to work at healing with one another, God. Whatever it might be, whatever those challenges are, God, help us to step into that with the joy of knowing Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
There's a few with us here.
We thank you for joining us this morning. In fact, you probably are rejoicing because you're at home where it's nice and warm and not here where it's chilly. But we've had a good time together and we praise God for this opportunity. As we close our service this morning, one more thing about the letter, Jana. Thanks for your comment, but I need to say that it was Janice who wrote that letter, not me.
Yes.
I just affirmed it. So she had a good word. Hear the word of Psalmist David as we leave in part this morning from Psalm 33. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice. For we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. God bless you all.